It's a little upper minute word. It is, yeah.
The intentions were all good, but the time it took us to actually get to that point of agreement on the resolution, I think there's some room for improvement there. Just have a few other points. One, I am a very enthusiastic person, and I encourage you all, I think pretty much everybody in this room, you know, we are all volunteers. We're here because we want to make a contribution to the betterment of Cornell's community and Cornell's spaces for staff and members that we come into contact with. Pass that enthusiasm along. It is infectious. It will get others motivated and others inspired to do things that might be out of their comfort zone, might take them to a place where they want to become active in volunteering. So share that enthusiasm. And as folks look at us as ambassadors for the staff community, you know, every time that they see us, they should be walking away with that impression that that person's looking out for me. That person is an advocate for what we're doing. And because the work we are doing is important, and it should be reflective in who we are and how we carry ourselves on campus. Last thing I'll say, I just have a couple administrative points. That's kind of the end of the pep rally. But a couple of the administrative points. The Board of Trustees are going to be on campus from March 21st through March 23rd. And the Employee Assembly Committee chairs have been invited to attend a reception on the afternoon of March 21st between 3 and 4. And I would just like some feedback on whether or not you all, we've been asked if we would like to continue that reception. I'm guessing the answer is yes, but I'd also like to, I'm seeing some heads nod. So is there any dissent to that? No? Great. So I will let them know. We will reach out to committee chairs to see who is available
attend. It's their chairs in our body.
Oh, okay. Yes. So it's the whole assembly.
It's the assembly.
Okay.
It's their
all right. So it's not
meet with us.
So all of us get to go. Woo!
Yes.
All right. Great. There was a comment regarding the kudos link in our last meeting. You'll note that it is on the employee assembly page, but it is not an active link yet. So Tanya Grove, myself, and the Office of Assemblies are meeting on Friday morning to discuss the awards and recognition process and a plan moving forward to ensure that we hit important milestones, checklists are taken a look at. So that as those celebrations and staff recognition occur, we're able to do it in an effective way where everybody knows who's doing what. But kudos is part of that. Some constituents have submitted kudos, but it's kind of like, where does it go after it goes into the Cornell website? So we will follow up and get that back to you. Also, at our last meeting, Carrie had mentioned the staff newsletter. So curious, I tried to find the staff newsletter. I couldn't find it. So, and Carrie and I, we discussed it earlier. Some folks were left off the distribution list. So that's another thing of just sharing that information. We will try to be more detailed in who is on that list, and we'll work with the Office of Assemblies to get that squared away. Last night, the University Assemblies met, and the focus was basically two parts. We discussed the University Assembly Resolution Number 11, dealing with the terms of the time frame and term of the judicial assistant or
administrator
for the university. Ultimately, by the end of the meeting, that resolution was tabled. So there's more to follow on that. In a nutshell, it's looking at an extension of 1 year for the current judicial administrator to ensure that there are some coverage and stability in that position before it goes forward. And then the second piece was Dean Levier from the law school came over to talk to us about the Presidential Task Force Subcommittee on Free Speech and what they are doing there. That subcommittee is a relatively small committee comprised of 8 members, 2 undergrads, 2 grads, 2 staff members, 2 faculty members, and the dean. And basically, they have only had 1 meeting to this point. They're expected to have outcomes or recommendations only. It is not a decision-making body. It's recommendations only to the president by the end of the academic year. So with that, are there any questions for me on any of the comments that I've made or things coming up? Great. Thank you for your attention with that. So at this point, we'll turn it over to the discussion around the EA representation and the staff survey. I think that was
open.
So sorry, I had my mouth full. Topic was brought up from a couple different directions that we should have a discussion around EA representation and how it relates to the staff survey. It's an open kind of discussion on how we're involved, when we're involved, and are there changes that we should be looking at down the road? So I just wanna open up the floor, but the idea is that there had been some concerns expressed around the staff survey, what's actually covered by the staff survey and what input that we have on that.
Could I just interject for just a minute? In case not everybody is aware, well, the original topic for discussion was about the question on the staff survey that got at whether employees feel that they are being represented and the results of that. Of that question. Not that that should limit things at all, but there was a question on the 2016 staff survey, a Likert scale type of thing. And that particular question was not covered in the sub committees that made recommendations to the university. So I don't know, does anybody want more information about that, or is everybody on the same? Are we all on the same page?
So if I can just add, Carrie, to what Carrie is saying, the question on this 2016 staff survey, we added when Marin came to the EA, and when they were developing a survey, we suggested a question around EA reach was added to the survey. The question, I think, states, I feel or I believe the employee assembly represents my interests. I don't know total respondents to the survey. I forget right now. I thought it was 3,100 or something like that. Does anyone know the number of total respondents to the survey?
I have it.
How many?
I have it on my.
It was like 250 people? No, it was a big number. Human ecology alone was like.
Harry has it.
Let's see, 4309 surveys submitted on the web and 523 surveys submitted on paper. So this was one of the multiple choice questions. And actually, I'll just,
so
can you guys see
4, this? 4,500 people, only less than 30%. So it was like 28% believe that the employee assembly represents their interests.
The complete data is, I don't know if you guys can see this right here. The striking thing about the question or the answers to the question, I think, is that by far this question had the most neutral responses of any other. Almost 58% of the respondents said they were neutral when it came to the question of whether the EA represents their interests. So there is the whole positive, the agree and strongly agree were low, but by far the most neutral responses. And so, you know, what does that mean exactly? But this is the data that came in.
Which I think we can, at least my supposition there, my positive would be that based on other feedback that we've received, is because that folks just aren't aware of what we're doing.
Right.
And on their behalf.
Yep.
I think that probably drives that neutral response. I don't know, because I don't know whether they are or not.
So the good news is we've got room for improvement. Are there any other comments on this particular topic?
Well, I note, I would like to see the next time around that same question placed on the survey to see what kind of response, or even a pulse survey sometime in the future here. I suspect, again, this is just totally kind of making assumptions, but the efforts that Carrie and the communications team have been making over the last year have been significantly more than I've ever seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that they're making real impact. And I would
I suspect
that we'll see that number change
based
on some of the efforts. It doesn't mean that we should just be happy with that. But I think part of what we need to do is some more of this outreach and communication. I think one of the steps in that has been the communications committee, and Carrie in particular, really managing that outreach. But we need to be all responsible for that as well. Because as Craig was saying earlier, when people meet us and talk to us, they need to walk away from that thinking positively about the EA and knowing a bit about what we are doing on their behalf. And that's on each of us.
So I'm struck by the difference between, do they know who we are, and do they feel we represent their interests, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly there's a large issue around awareness of the EA and what it does and what its purpose is and who we are and all of that. But the question wasn't, do you know who the EA is? The question was, do they represent your interests? And I have felt for a while that we are in our actions, in our engagements here, we represent a very narrow portion of the staff body in our resolutions and actions. Maybe certain, you know, elements you can say no, like transportation, we're doing a wide cast, but I feel like we need to talk about ways in which we can represent more broadly the interests of the community at large. I mean, there's 80% of the people either didn't want to answer positively or answered negatively that we represent them. That's troubling to me.
So a great segue with that is that on Saturday is the employee celebration. Mm-hmm. And the employee assembly is not a sponsor of that program. It may have been in the past, but kind of begs the question, well, why aren't we now? I don't think it's too late if any of you would like to volunteer, but I do think it is something that going forward for future years, that's something the employee assembly should be an integral part of in terms of planning, support, providing advice and recommendation. It's driven by the HR and Cheryl McGraw and her team, but it's something that I think we should also be considering participating in both physically and with possibly some monetary support as well from our budget. Are there any other comments with regard to the staff survey discussion point? Yes.
I have one. You know, last time we were given very little time to make additions to the survey, and we're basically told that the survey had to stay largely the same as it had been in the past, and we're part of a committee, you know, with Christine, and I would really like to, you know, I don't think we can say it strongly enough to say that the EA should be more involved in the planning of the next survey and months in advance, not, you know, you have a week to come up with a few suggestions, it can't be very much, but, you know, a year in advance, maybe, you know, talk to the people who are doing the survey, because some of these questions seem to dance around topics. You know, maybe it's the way they're phrased, and I understand they want comparability, but there are a lot of things, such as transportation, that were completely left off the survey that many, you know, employees feel very strongly about. So I do want to, you know, say again, we need to be more involved with the next survey before the survey comes out, and not just be part of the groups that hash it over afterwards.
Thank you very much, Laura. Yes?
Tyler, this is a basic question. Who creates the survey? Who sends it out? HR?
I assume it was a firm, though, that was hired to create. No? It was developed within? Okay.
It is IRP.
But Marin's group is not, it's another office that does all these surveys, a variety of surveys.
Yeah, institutional research and planning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
But to Laura's point, though, that is a great suggestion to have our involvement right up on the front end of planning and participation in that. If it's not, I mean, the folks that are working on it are also employees of the community. So, but as representatives of the broader community, that's a good point. Yes.
Before we move on, I don't want to, I think what Christy had to say just rings true to a lot of that. And I feel like we, I don't know what else can be done in terms of a discussion about this whole issue, you know, the visibility and, you know, more of a presence. And as a relatively, as a new member, and I know that looking back at what has been discussed with IPP folks, and we have a large population of people within our division, and making sure, because I think a lot of what you said rings true may not apply to a number of folks mm-hmm. within our division. It's a very slim amount, and it probably the same rings true for across a variety of units represented here today. I just feel like, should there be more discussion about how we do raise that visibility, as well as the, you know, aside from what we each do individually to let people know what's happening. And I don't have a solid sense of what I'm following in that sense,
right.
You know, so maybe it's a strategy of something a little bit more strategic about that prospect,
yeah.
As opposed to just, you know, adding to a survey, or it just seems like that might be something that's more of a task force or one of the subcommittees takes on to talk about, you know, and other things that may help each of us as a representative communicate effectively to constituents.
Carrie, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, well, I would say I agree wholeheartedly with Christy and Andrea. I mean, when it comes to the survey, the 2016 survey, I think it's really hard with a single question worded like that to get at what are all those neutrals, what are they trying to say? And they could be saying different things, and it's really difficult to tease that out. So I am I'm trying to be objective about it. I don't believe that we can write all those off as negatives, right? So yes. That's my personal opinion. I don't believe that we can write them all off as negatives, but there's something there, multiple things there probably, that we need to try and get at. And part of it, I agree with Jeremy, is awareness. If you're answering that question and you can't remember the last time you saw an email or correspondence or anything from the EA, what would be your response? I have no idea if they represent me. So I think there really is something to do there. I'm wondering, not to be too much of a data head, but we had talked about when the results first came out, we had talked about going back to IRP with a request for some data breakdowns by, you know, break down these numbers by sort of our affinity groups, by college, by, you know, gender, whatever it is. And see if there's something that pops out. Age, seniority, what, I mean, there's so many different breakdowns we could do. But I wonder if it's worth still making that request and to see if anything pops out of the data there. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's definitely worthwhile to continue to pursue that.
Yeah,
Laura?
I think we should pursue that, but I mean, we did actually ask for some of that information, and we're told some of it would absolutely not be forthcoming in terms of, you know, where trouble spots are. I mean, Reginald came and talked to some of the subcommittees and basically discussed that. So I don't know
how likely we are to get. I think we have to have a targeted and focused question, and then we may be able to get at some of this.
Okay.
But I think the absence of that.
Do you think that's something your committee could take a discuss at your next meeting and
sure.
see if you can craft that question, and then we can go back to IRP and see if that's something that we can move the ball forward on. Yes, Nancy.
In agreement with everything else that's been said, but with kudos again to Carrie, I think those quick polls that we're doing, obviously with the transportation one, we really hit a nerve. And as we hit other nerves, which I'm sure we are going to, that then gives us a body of information going forward to the next survey to say, you know, these are some of the issues that employees really have been energized about and that should be included in.
Thank you.
So I think the poll is a great thing that we've been doing.
I think the poll, at least from transportation perspective, has shown so much engagement. Like there's 1,300 people that responded to the last poll. That's like tremendous to me. I can't imagine. Given the numbers of the overall response, that's a quarter of the people that did the staff survey has responded to this pulse survey. It's just incredible. I'm wondering also if we should be trying other avenues. So in my college, I don't do like open hours or lunch in the commons or whatever. I'm wondering if we should do more community stuff where, you know, we do a table in wherever, in Willard Strait or on the Hope Plaza or in places where employees go, that we create an opportunity to get feedback directly, like in more ways than just through the newsletter. I feel like we should be brainstorming about how do we get people to know who we are and get their interests to us in a way that we could then explore them. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know, but I feel like those little boards that people walk up to and write on, and like, here's my concern, or here's, you know, here's what I like about you, and here's what I don't like about you. You know, you see them all kinds of places, that there's opportunity to use that kind of idea. I don't know where.
Thank you. Jeremy?
So I'm kind of combining all of the things that we've talked about, because I think we've hit upon several pieces of a good strategy as we've been talking. One is, if we can get some more involvement for the next survey, it might help us get some additional questions out there. It's still probably, though, we're not going to be able to design the whole survey from scratch, so we're still going to end up with some questions that are a bit difficult to really differentiate what the meaning is behind it. So I think that as we've seen with the transportation pulse survey, we can use those to kind of tease apart some of those questions if we start seeing responses that we to the employee survey where we're like, that seems a little uncertain. Let's hold another poll to see if we can pull some of that apart and get some more information out of it. The other thing that I think that does, at least from the success of the transportation survey, is that actually, I think, reaches out to those people saying, we are interested in representing you and being part of, we want to hear back from you. So I think that in itself has part of that positive impact to change the negative numbers we might be seeing. So I think we might kind of be teasing around something that could be a really useful method of gaining more feedback and showing more representation.
Thank you. Kevin?
So one of the things that I took from that questionnaire, you know, about the representation, and I brought it back to my department and to my group. And a lot of times, I think it goes up to what Hayes was saying, is that they don't know where the impacts are. So we ended up last year after this, we got the nice little letter from President Pollack thanking us for being on the committees and saying what we had 457 resolutions go through her office, through the assemblies and stuff, but it really never showed where we made the impact. So I think one of the things that needs to happen is when we go through a resolution and it's posted and all that stuff, I think we need to find and to show our constituents, where that impact was seen, and you know what our contribution was. Was it President Pollock putting something through his, you know, policy, or anything due to our resolution? We don't see that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens. What they're like, well, you know, I'm glad you're on as our representative, but you know, what has it done for us? And we don't see that. And I think that's right where it was going, yeah. Was saying, yeah. You know, where is that part? And I think that's where people got neutral, at least in my group, was because they were like,
right,
I can't say yay or nay about it because I don't know what impact was made. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one. And if it goes to the Office of Assemblies on our web, you know, on our site, as what was the end resolve from the president to there, I don't know if it's there.
It is
there.
For everyone present.
But it seems like we can say that the president responded in this way, but we don't see where that impact in any policy changes.
Right.
So I think if we have that, I mean, we can say, yeah, we threw up, you know, how many resolutions this year, but that really doesn't say much.
Right. Yes.
Hi, Herb Sheldon. I wasn't here last meeting, so.
Hi, I'm Craig.
Peggy Anderson and I share a seat. I think one of the things we need to work on is presence. And I was just sitting here thinking, I worked here 36 years, and it wasn't until a few months before I retired that I was involved in a larger department, and they had a departmental HR meeting, and they had someone from Cornell Assembly, from the Employee Assembly, come and talk about what it was. And I was like, boy, that's a great idea. But they don't, you know, do they include retired people? And the answer was no, so that's how I ended up here. But I mean, there just isn't a lot of presence of EA business. And I don't know if, like, trying to get them into, you know, our meetings, reports of meetings or reports of our accomplishments in paw print. Because the only email I recall getting from the EA in 36 years was election things. Come run for something in the office, the employee assembly does this and that. But there wasn't any detail about, you know, month-to-month physical things or things they were working on. So
right.
Just my suggestion from past.
No, thank you. Thank you for that.
I think an important piece missing for me is understanding how Cornell employees get their information. Like, I'm limited to how I get information,
right.
Facebook, email, conversations with coworkers. So that might be, I don't know if that's a snap poll question we send out. It's like, but even then, we're only reaching the people who are going to answer the poll. So I don't know how my coworkers and all of our coworkers find information out. Right? So it's great to have the EA website, but how many people go click it to see what was the result of that particular action? So I don't know how we communicate things more broadly, but it does feel like it comes down to finding a variety of ways to communicate with people. Some of which we're already doing, but some of which we might not even know to be doing.
Right. Yes.
It sounds like we're all having very similar conversations around communication and outreach. How do we display to people, this is the work we've done, this is the progress that we've made, this is a lot of what I said last time. But again, making people aware of what we're doing is really important. And even having those results be public some way, whether it's on the website, which people might not have an easy way to access, or through the email where we just kind of provide updates. I think that would be really helpful to connect, you know, staff members with this idea that we are making progress and we're doing things and give them this impression that we are creating impactful work. Like even for example, this came about when I got an email about Resolution 6 and the staff members that we had resolved to provide, to have the, I think, that department allocate funding for. Right now, I've just heard back from that department to say that they have one person there and they're in the process of hiring two people. So how do we, you know, say, okay, we put this resolution out and this is the progress that we're making and we're gonna follow up with it. Like, how do we make that public so that people can know we're really working on this?
That's fantastic news. So, but yeah, I mean, right. How do you share that fantastic news?
And we're all sort of working here, but do we even know the status of these things? I mean, when is there ever an opportunity to provide these updates?
Yes, Herb.
I just wanted to add one thing. Implicit, what I was trying to say is that every department, no matter how large or small, has one or two or three or even four, if they're really trying to annoy everyone, you know, personnel type meetings per year. And so if you go, it seems to me, if you go to the HR people within that department, if you're in whatever department you represent, and say, when you have that meeting, I represent the EA for this group, invite me and let me do a little 5-minute presentation. It's like, that would be, this, you know, I said in 36 years, I had it once in the last 6 months I was there. Thousands of meetings.
Thank you. Jeremy?
So on that, Herb, I recently got an opportunity to do just that at the CIT all-staff meeting, and that was hugely successful. I've gotten a lot of feedback from folks, a lot of contacts with folks. In fact, I don't see him here today, but we actually have somebody who will be running next term from CIT as a direct result of attending that all-staff meeting and giving a presentation. I can't recommend strongly enough that you reach out to, what I did was initially reached out to one of the directors and said, I don't know who the right person to contact is, but I'm your representative. How can I talk to your staff? Mm-hmm. And through some back and forth with his secretary, got in on this all staff meeting, which is, you know, in front of a couple hundred folks. So you got to get used to a little public speaking. But it provided a lot of great opportunities that allowed me to represent not just the EA, but shared governance as a whole, really introduced them. And now we got this much larger group of awareness. So absolutely, that reaching out to folks and getting in on those meetings is something you really should look into to doing.
So, I'm sorry. Yes,
okay. Just to give some historical context, this is, you know, well over a decade ago, but we did a series of things because this is an ongoing question and issue with employee assembly. And so when I chaired, we did a series, two different things. One we did was frontline feedback, where we partnered with the Human Resources Department, and Mary Opperman went around, and the chair of the EA, and often very many EA members, depending on which division it was in. So whoever that division rep was there and helped to co-facilitate it. And it was just a luncheon thing where people in that division were invited to come and have Q&A time. There was no real formal presentation per se, other than to say, hey, here we are and we're listening and what are your concerns? And it was a face-to-face opportunity, and we did them all across campus, so it didn't have anything to do with email other than just like that department or division actually did the publicity on the behalf of the EA. So it was a little bit more substantial, say, than just, you know, the EA. So it created a good partnership. And then another thing we did, we sponsored coffee chats with different administrators. So it was like coffee chat with Kathy Okin, was the wife of Jeff Lehman at the time when they first came. And so people were really curious about the wife of Jeff Lehman. And I don't know, just all of these different administrators. So about once a month, it was over in the Willard Strait Hall Memorial Room, and they have a fireplace and whatever, somewhat informal. And it was, you know, coffee and pastries or whatever, and sit and chat with this individual, and people across campus would just come and hang out and do it. And EA reps were there, and just more, you know, wear your name tag, or right. Now you have cool shirts that you could wear. But it was just more the idea of being out there. And so not just having a digital presence, but to actually have a face-to-face presence. And that's where you did a lot of the signups for committee memberships and things like that. Like, you're like pushing your sign up list on people, be like, oh, that sounds like you're really interested in transportation. Hey, guess what? We have this committee. And so, you know, it maybe not the answer to the end all, but it could be a prong in your overall communication strategy, is to think about that real time, real face, you know, stuff.
Yes, I was in HR at the time that the frontline feedback happened. So I saw it from Mary's standpoint. And one of the things that I thought was very valuable, I mean, they were very popular and well attended.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was really helpful was that at the end, we did sort of a summary of the major issues that were facing staff and what had come out. So it gets to what are those, you know, what kind of results are there, sort of thing. And obviously that would make a very good, you know, news type article as well.
Do we know when they stopped?
I think Mary did them, wasn't it toward the start of her?
Yeah, I mean, we did them for a few years. I don't know. I left the EA in 2005, I think. It's still a new UA until 2006. I know they did it in 2006 again.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. It's not like it ended because I left. I just know we did them for a few years, and then I think, you know, I'm not sure. I think they were trying to do a good job of summarizing, like it was a form of data collection too,
right.
Like Nancy's saying, and then they did really create some initiatives, and I think there were some, you know, ad hoc subcommittees that formed out of that, and I don't know.
So in the due to time, what I would like to ask is the committee chairs at your next meeting, take about 10 minutes of your meeting, do a little bit of brainstorming on this specific topic, and see if we can bring some concrete steps back to our next meeting. If you don't have a meeting between now and our next EA meeting, that's fine. But let's bring back a couple items that we might look at even implementing this the remainder of this semester. And otherwise, I know we're gonna have a retreat this summer, right? Okay, so.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, so we will try to plan a retreat when we have the majority of folks able to attend, so that we can take a look at both the calendar, the sequence of events academically, and where are opportunities that we might plug ourselves in to be participating, like with the employee celebration this coming weekend. I'd like to turn the floor over to Christine for an update on the Advancing Comprehensive Transportation Study.
So I was thinking that maybe it would be valuable to talk a bit about the university, the president's response to our resolution, and I can give an update on what I know that transportation is doing, can give somewhat of an update to the pulse that carry the poll, but I was just curious what everyone thought this meant and what actions we feel as a body we need to be taking in response. I think there's a lot of interpretation that could be made with what's written here. I'm choosing to think it's positive, but I don't know what everyone else thinks.
I comment as somebody who's been on the Transportation Task Force. I mean, for a little bit of background, for those of you who aren't that familiar with the Transportation Task Force, we were asked by Bridget Brady, head of transportation, and the others on the task force from transportation, if we would co-sponsor this resolution and send it to President Pollack, supporting their request for a survey. And they already, my understanding was they already had funding and plans to conduct this survey, but they wanted the EA, because they knew transportation was something we were all concerned about, to be part of that. So I guess when I first saw this, I actually thought of it as a negative thing, saying, wait a minute, you know, this is something transportation's been planning, the EA is behind it. I was sort of a little puzzled that she would include IPP and not transportation and sort of a study about whether they needed a study when transportation
is within IPP.
Okay, well, that actually clears up some of that, but I was a little puzzled by this response and didn't necessarily take it as a very positive thing, because it seemed to me that, you know, the Transportation Task Force was 100% behind doing this. I don't think anybody thought this was a bad idea to ask for this study, at least not that I can recall. So that's just my opinion.
Any other comments?
I guess to amend the ask, is there anything else the Transportation Task Force should be doing in response to this that would represent what the body thinks is important about the voices that we've heard around transportation issues that we're not already doing, or we're not already partnered with transportation to advance?
I liked your prior comment when you were talking about just those quick pulse surveys. Mm-hmm. I think it would be nice if we were able to follow up again, and not as a resolution, but to provide additional follow-up to the president and do some more surveys. Because if, and I agree with you, whether you know, you can take some negatives and some positives with this, but it seemed pretty clear to me. I've gained a lot more sympathy for transportation, I have to say, just with some of the meetings with them, and nothing compared to the time that these guys have spent with them. I just was left with the feeling that transportation has their marching orders. They're going to do a survey, and appreciate that they, it seems that they will look out for the, you know, because they don't want the complaints.
No, right.
But I think the president kind of made it clear on what they're going to do here, and none of the things that she says they're going to do involve assisting with parking for employees. That's that. I mean, she might as well just, thanks, but I can't do anything for you. That's kind of what I felt like she was hearing. Perhaps she needs to see the numbers a couple more times to say, these are the kind of people that are responding to these surveys. These are the kind of people that are being impacted by not having any place to park.
Right.
And in some ways, I think it's important for her to understand that a lot of people are not driving to campus because they want to. It's because they have to. And so anything that we could do to give her those numbers, and maybe it'll have to be post-survey. I don't know what the date is now on the survey.
So the study will take 4 to 6 months, and the consultant hasn't yet begun engagement.
Have they been selected?
They have been selected. The contract isn't completely routed. They're due here probably in the next month.
So the only comment that I have about it is solely the part about us placing a moratorium on there, because things already happened. There's already things in place with growth, construction. Mm-hmm. We had our FAB board meeting and our training. We were already told that because of the new high rises going up, they're getting rid of 500 spaces, but there's nothing that they can do because that's where the buildings are going. So for us to ask for a moratorium on something that it's already been set in place like 3-4 years ago, we really can't do that. So my suggestion would be to just drop the moratorium on that to get this really looked at.
Well, she basically says that, doesn't she? I mean, she says, I'm committed to mitigating any adverse impact, but you know, she can't agree on and support a moratorium, so.
You know, so those are the things. I think, you know, we should hear what she's saying, and then really kind of take a look in the back and say, you know, that's something that we can't change. No one can change that. It's going to happen. And for us to, I think, remove that from the resolution, is there's give take. You know, that's it.
I just wanted to say, I think this response kind of speaks to, and I'm just going to piggyback from Kevin, things that are already in play. Mm-hmm. So as far as asking for this particular study, I think in terms of how she's phrased it here, it's eventually going to be embedded in a wider study because of what's happening in the next couple of years with the new buildings for North Campus. So I think they're looking at a broader transportation study that would include much of what's been asked for here, but not in the timeline that it has been asked for here. So, I mean, based from where I sit and the information I have access to, I know that this response, I read it as a positive response. I might add further that we may not get what we thought we wanted, what we're asking for. But again, it's because of things that are already in play and the practicality of kind of considering. But I didn't see this as a negative or a non-response response.
Chad, will you state who the committee chairs that attend that board reception that all of the members will be at or are invited to be at. And they are the committee chairs of
the board.
Right. And yeah. So having attended the last year, I can tell you they're very open and receptive. I mean, mm-hmm. these are people who help to direct the committees who initiate these studies. And so there is an opportunity. They are very sincerely right. interested in hearing the voices around this table yeah. around these issues. And I don't know if I can't think of the names of the committees particularly, but
building and premises would be there, and much of this kind of falls in, mm-hmm. in that.
He was really, yeah, really Lee engaged in the conversation. I felt like in last spring. So yeah. I mean, there's an opportunity to be think thoughtfully around what are the talking points or the key mm-hmm. things that you would like those individuals who are sitting at the table making those kind of decisions on the behalf of the university. It's not a resolution, but it's not a list of demands. It's a conversation. So what, right?
I don't know if it helps. The parking bit, transportation bit, is being looked at from a way broader perspective than the what we have here. It's way broader, like way broader.
Carrie, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, I guess my take on it was that I was sort of expecting the response that we got. I think I wasn't expecting President Pollack to jump up and down and say, yes, totally, moratorium on everything. But we did write it in a way that we were talking about the overall reduction of parking. And so there's a lot of wiggle room for a potential response that would involve maybe a relief parking lot somewhere. I mean, I have no idea, but I'm continually surprised at the amount of, the tentacles of the university when it comes to property owned or in the area and whatever. So I'm not saying I have a solution in mind exactly, but relief shuttle. I noticed that there was the shuttle or circulator was not mentioned at all in the response. And so I really feel like the time to do a meta study of past studies and then do another study potentially, I mean, that's all, it creates a timeline that's pretty far ahead. And, reading the comments that come in, I really feel for the people that are paying hundreds of dollars every year, and they feel like they're paying for nothing. They feel like they're paying for a big pain in the butt when they're trying to park on campus. And, I think someone mentioned many people acknowledged they don't mind parking on the fringe off-site. Several people asked for more like park and ride sort of shuttle lots. I don't hear a lot of people saying, I want to be able to park on main campus right where my building is. But they want to at least be able to get from their car to their office in a reasonable amount of time. I think whatever that is that we determine is reasonable. I feel like a follow-up it would make sense with the additional data and try to get a conversation going about, well, how can we mitigate and how can we mitigate, like yesterday, some of these problems, even if they're just relief solutions, not expected to be temporary, to be permanent. But, historically speaking, when they opened the East Hill office building and they sent a bunch of us to East Hill Plaza, there was a bit of an outcry about, well, now we're out in the boonies and we still all have meetings occasionally on main campus. And the response to that was a shuttle, an independent shuttle that stopped at like four or five places, including College Town, East Hill Plaza, I think Eurus. And it came every 10 minutes and it was great. Why they stopped that, I don't know. There is room for the university to do something, at least in the interim, while we're waiting for these results. So That's just my take.
Christine?
So hearing all of this and tying this conversation to the previous conversation, and I do have sympathy, more sympathy now perhaps than ever, for transportation, but they are their own worst advocate. They don't communicate what they're doing. They don't share information about truths and non-truths around, I mean, impression rules when it comes to transportation. And I'm wondering if we should be offering through EA newsletter or something information like we heard this resolution forward. Here's what we know to be the current actions of transportation. We did the pulse survey. Here's what we learned about that. This is what, you know, how that information is being played out, whether or not we should use our own vehicles to let staff know. I mean, it's not our timeline and it's going to be months. Like it's not a ready resolution to their issues, but at least let them know what's going on. I mean, maybe we can't achieve what we're trying to achieve directly immediately, but at least giving people information may help give a satisfaction that we've heard them and that people are doing something.
Yeah, Jeremy will be the last comment on this topic.
So I think that's an awesome idea. And if we could find a way to kind of open a line of communication with transportation and say, we don't think you're evil people and we want to know that we recognize that you've got a tough job, but if we can help you communicate the things that you're doing to try to protect our employees and understand the difficulties that they're going through, that will help that impression of your office. And we might be able to partner to really share some of that positive information that you never hear about transportation, the efforts that they're actually taking to our benefit.
I'll be calling you, Karen.
I'd love to be involved as well.
Okay.
Just
sounds good.
Okay, thank you all. We're going to go ahead and move. I'm going to skip number four, old business, and as well as new business, and like to go ahead and see if anybody would like to make a motion to approve the last minutes from the January 31st meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Any dissent? Okay, great. The minutes from the last meeting are approved. Committee reports, communication committee, Carrie?
Well, we met last week. We are developing content for the next mailing. Craig mentioned at the top, we discovered some people's newsletters are getting stuck in clutter, and we're gonna try to address that. Otherwise, let's see, developing content for the next mailing, and working on some follow-up of ideas that we've talked about before, sort of non-digital alternatives, which I think goes perfectly in hand with today's discussion. But just plugging away, finalizing the poll closed, and so that analysis has to be done, and those results will be shared with everyone.
And Carrie, the next mailing, is it February 22nd? Is that correct?
It is scheduled for the 22nd, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Employee Education and Development Committee?
That's Marjorie.
Okay. Does anybody from that committee have anything they'd like to share? Okay. Welfare Committee.
An issue was brought to us about lactation rooms and especially about the etiquette surrounding them. And I've been in communication with Nancy and with the people who were involved. And basically, I think a positive thing is they're about to open the 40th room where a woman who is breastfeeding her child but working at Cornell can go and pump. And that's a really great achievement. However, a lot of people don't understand what the lactation rooms are for, and there have been women who've gone to use them, and some of them do not have locking doors, and one woman came forward and said she was really concerned because people kept walking in on her, and it was very noisy and loud, and it sort of destroyed her ability to pump effectively. Anybody who's tried that knows sometimes you have to be in the right mindset or it just doesn't work. Sounds like Paw Print is going to advertise and celebrate
the opening of this next one, and I'm hoping it will cover some of the etiquette, because people who want to use the rooms actually reserve it in the university room reservation system, which I think most people who see these rooms with a comfy couch in a corner and it says mother's room on it, they have no clue what this means. And they might say, hey, I'm a mom, I want to sit down and take a load off too during my break. And they don't understand, you know, some people are actually reserving that room so they can go in there and pump. And that's sort of their purpose. And it doesn't mean other people couldn't use them at other times, but if they're reserved. So I'm also trying to work with people and hope that perhaps better signage, you know, a sign that you could put up when you go in there just saying, privacy please, pumping in progress, do not disturb, something like that.
And Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, Linda has offered to come and give a presentation to us as well.
About lactating?
Yes. About the announcements.
I'm not
about lactating. Oh,
okay. I think Melissa offered.
Or Michelle Arteby.
Michelle.
Oh, okay. I had the name wrong. Okay.
So Michelle Arteby is willing to come and
Laura,
talk
are they called mother's room? Lactation room? Is there consistency? What
mother's rooms is my understanding.
It says lactation room.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's consistently labeled.
Right. Okay.
So maybe. I think it's part of the issue. But Michelle would be the person who coordinates that.
Anything else, Laura?
We're working on scheduling for the next meeting. We are, as you know, also working on putting together a resolution about non-exempt retirement contributions. That's not ready for prime time yet, but it has gone through the Personnel Policy Committee once. It needs to go through it again, probably, and also Employee Welfare Committee. So.
Great. Thank you very much. Elections Committee.
That's me. Nothing to report on the elections, but I'd like to defer my time for an update on the Consensual Relationship Policy Committee, hopefully, that you all approved four of us to participate, which was Daniela, Laura, Gina, and I. I've split up allocated all of the meetings to have two individuals present at each meeting. As per the request of Charlie Van Loan, the first meeting was last week, and Danielle and Laura went. Laura?
Do you want me to speak?
Yes,
that?
Please.
Okay. Probably the critical aspect that came out of that meeting, staff are mentioned in one word, staff, at the end of one paragraph right now in this policy. They are specifically tasked with a policy that basically does not include staff. I think we as the EA might want to consider whether we want to have it apply or have a very comparable thing apply, because some of these same issues could be faced by supervisor-supervisee relationships between staff that do not involve a student. This consensual relationships policy is only dealing with relationships which involve a student as one of the topics. So that's something, you know, I think the language could very easily be extended to include, you know, not just faculty supervisors and student supervisees, but staff supervisors and supervisees also. And also, you know, sometimes staff are in the same position as a student and relative to, say, a faculty supervisor. And that's something, sometimes the positions are more analogous than maybe the students are there. But currently the committee does not address staff in that way, only situations that might, a relationship between staff and student.
Thank you. Carrie?
Yeah, Laura, I asked that question of several weeks ago when this came up, and I can't remember who said so, but I was told that there already is an existing policy that covers staff, and so now I'm confused.
Well, there's already an existing policy that covers students and faculty as well. This is beefing it up and making definitions of different statuses much more well-defined, and it's really fleshing out, because there already is a policy that prohibits certain kinds of relationships on campus.
Okay, so this is like a supplement.
It's a separate policy, but yes, but it's also mandated, talking about, and it's, you know, they haven't finished drafting this, so it's a work in progress, but for example, circumstances when somebody would be permitted to have a relationship, but it must be disclosed. For example, if a faculty member comes to Cornell and is married to someone who then becomes a student in the department, so that everybody, it's permitted because they were married when they came here, but everybody understands that, you know, issues between them might be treated a little bit differently than it would be between a faculty member sleeping with a student he wasn't married to and you know, after the person became their student.
Oh, okay. Because I wrote to Charlie Van Loan about that after he presented, And his response was that they were intentionally focusing their whole sort of like their focal point was students because they felt that that was where it impacted academic progress. And so that they were intentionally not focusing on staff.
I think it's also, I'm be a little bit cynical. That's what Martha Pollack told them to address in this policy. So I think you do what the president tells you when you're
Heading up. I just wanted to clarify. I'm sorry.
My understanding may be imperfect, though, because we were not present at the previous meetings. They had met a few times before Friday.
Okay, Christine, anything you want to add beyond our earlier discussion?
I'm just working with Carrie to create a report from all the data of the Pulse survey and to identify the winner of the $25 gift certificate. That's pretty much where we are.
Great, thank you. Chad said he did not have anything to pass. Herb?
Peggy and I, on Monday, attended the REAC, which is the Retirement Engagement Advisory Committee, and on that committee are people from HR, Gordon Barger, and his predecessor, Paul Bursick, and Peggy and myself, and four people from CAPE, which is the Cornell Association of Professor Emeritus, but they've tried to be more inclusive, so they're taking people that are academically inclined, but were staff. So the case in point is Rick Robinson, who was the leader of the director of the museum, of Johnson Museum, he's a member of CAPE, and he's actually on their board at this meeting. He was active in the Cornell Retirement Association, which make this too long, Cornell Retirement Association kind of morphed into just a responsibility for Michelle Ardby and HR rather than as a board. So we're trying to figure out how to deal with that. The things that they do are there's a committee that some of the people on that committee are members of, which is an oversight and advisory committee with no power at all for Cornell's retirement plans. So to take advice and give advice to the people who are managing our retirement plans, like TIA, CREF, and FIDELITY.
Great.
So,
this retirement plan oversight.
There is, and this is a little different. And so they don't have any. It's more an advisory. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to maybe encourage them to do things a little differently, or to see if there's different ways to approach this. So. Along with that, Peggy, who's been, would like to be more involved, I think, in the Employee Education and Development Committee, Education RE Retirement. And there was a little discussion about whether during time of onboarding, the way they should treat retirement savings, education, is important. And then we discussed transportation. And, you know, this is an issue for the university, as we were discussing before, and it's really a regional problem.
Right.
Schuyler County is the largest employer in Schuyler County is Cornell University, which has an extension. You know, so it's all commuters. So there's 15 to 18,000 commutations into Cornell every day. So this is a big regional issue. And I would think at the next transportation meeting, I think we should try to get somebody from the legislature to come to our meetings, because legislatures engaged somehow with transportation, you know, but they have a much more vision too. They've got a wider vision. So that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Anything from the executive committee? I'm not sure.
Mostly that we're talking about ways to increase our communication with the body and. Increased transparency. A lot of this is conversations on how we can share information up on the website, and if that's going to be a possibility, or what other avenues we need to look at.
Okay, thank you. A couple last minute points. One, just a reminder, Saturday employee celebration. So spread the word and come out to watch the athletics have a meal. And then also between now and April 18th, we don't have any guest speakers lined up. So if you can think of some folks or that you'd like to nominate somebody to come and provide a presentation to us, great. If not, we're going to try to use that time most effectively with the committees and taking a look at some of our past business, because I think it is critically important, as we've discussed earlier. Let's get some information out, some concrete information about resolutions that have been passed and where they are currently at within action or stagnation. So with that, Nancy?
Just one addition on the employee celebration. I think all the tickets are sold, but I'm sure that if you called to Cheryl McGraw and said, I will volunteer to serve or set up or something for the couple of hours, she would be glad to give you a ticket and put you in the drawing.
Yes, yes. Okay, with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Carrie.
See you tonight, Craig.
Yes.
Just as a reminder, folks, unbox at the base folder of meeting materials for this year. There is an annual calendar where I keep track of all the requested speakers, whether they've been confirmed or what the status is. Feel free to look at that if you were interested in what's coming up, and feel free to suggest speakers. I will add them to the list and start making contacts.
Let's, can you get something?